Adversity? Bring it. The struggle? I welcome it. Snooze on life? Never that. I am Dave Regina, and this is the No Snooze Podcast. Come on. Welcome back, No Snooze Podcast, episode 161. As always, I'm in the booth with a new three. We have Mary Bell Bellatieri, Claudio the Voice Valenzuela, and I am Dave the Body Regina. Mary Bell is a work-from-home mom turned contemporary romance author. Closing in on age 39, and with a child at home, she left behind a freelance digital marketing career to pursue her dream of writing. While 20 plus years of jobs in varying industries gave her plenty of experience and know-how, none of it fueled her inner passions. But a true believer that every single job provides a value of some kind, she utilized the skills acquired from event planning to reception and scheduling to office management to digital marketing in order to jumpstart her author career. In February, she began writing. By April, she had a 95,000-word novel completed. By July, it was self-published. And as of mid-October, she has sold nearly 800 copies, participated in multiple book signing events, has been featured on multiple podcasts. The No Snooze is by far her favorite already, with a cover story for a magazine on its way. And she's just getting started. Mary Bell, welcome to the podcast.
I am very happy to be here.
Listen, you come bearing gifts. So right away, we are going to dive in to what we call the Mary Bell crumb cake extravaganza here.
This is legendary.
I mean, I am a big crumb cake guy, but I typically, you know, don't really eat on the pod like that. But the ratio of the crumb to the cake, I don't know if CV, you can lock in here. We're talking... Can you get
higher,
the focus?
Higher.
Hold it. Is it focused?
Hold it.
He's so excited.
I mean, you're talking.
A little higher, right there.
Yeah, it's not really working. But
you can see it.
That's all right. Anyway, this thing is, I'd say it's 50-50.
Yeah.
I've never seen a crumb cake equal the layer of the actual cake itself. So we're going to dive in here. Oh my God.
I think this is going to be our favorite section so far.
No, this is delicious.
Don't get them in your beard.
Mm-mm. Not in this powdered sugar. You're onto something with this.
Yeah?
Wait. What happened to sharing is caring?
Oh, CB. I'll give you a piece. Hold on.
Here. Get in there. Mm.
Yeah. So, oh boy. That's delicious. You know why it's unique? You know why it's unique? Because you can actually taste the yellow cake in it.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Like sometimes it's too crummy for me. That is a perfect blend. Oh. Powdered sugar on the top. Does Jay eat a lot of this?
Jay would eat a chicken scarparello before he eats a crumb cake, but he does appreciate it.
Nice Jewish guy. Yes. We've been having a lot of Jewish guys lately on the podcast.
Him and Mike would have gotten along swimmingly, actually, because they love their food. Yes. And Jay also says tremendous all the time.
Oh, yeah.
Tremendous.
Shout out, Mike.
Yes.
So this is incredible, honestly. I mean, you know, you go from a work-from-home mom. CV's over there. And
I just had to mute my mic because I heard myself go.
Yeah. Can I just say my grandmother in heaven right now is very, very proud. She is not happy, was not happy unless she was feeding people.
Oh.
So this is a shining moment for me, but please go ahead.
God bless
me.
She
Grandma.
Rest in peace. Yes, thank you. The thing that really strikes me about your story in general, before we get to the, I guess, the working from home part, the timeline of this. In February, she began writing of 23.
Yes, sure.
And then by April, you had a 95,000 word novel completed. How many pages is that?
About 360.
Okay. So how did the concept of writing a book even come about? What are the first steps?
Well, I was very lucky. I was very lucky to find a wonderful person, Elizabeth Lyons. when I decided that I wanted to write the book, I went on Google, like most people do, or Amazon, and I said how to write. I searched how to write a book, how to write a romance novel. I bought a bunch of books from a variety of authors, just how to get started. And then for romance in particular, I Googled how long is a typical romance novel. So okay. It said between 80 and 100,000 words.
And why romance?
Actually, I always thought I was going to write a memoir. This spans way back. My mother has a tub of school projects from when I was probably as young as 8 of me writing stories. You know, and she always used to say that I should have brought it, actually. There was a story that I described when I'm little about how when there's a snowstorm, it's the tears of angels from heaven. And this is when I was a little kid. I was the kid who always did summer library reading program.
I was not.
Yeah. Okay. I'm a big reader. I've always read.
I read
love
10
writing.
Pages a day.
Yeah. How far did you get along?
I think I'm at page 80.
Okay. 80. You got a little ways 80. To go, Dave.
Yeah, I know.
But I've always been a big reader, and I am the person that on Facebook, because Facebook, you're a little younger than me, when it first came out, it was for college kids.
That's when I was in college.
Okay. Yeah. I went to University of Delaware, and we would put in our statuses that we were going to psych class, and we were going to lunch after, and, you know, when people would poke each other on Facebook.
Mm-hmm. Oh, the poking
game. The AIM instant messaging chat room, all of that stuff. I grew up on that when I was 12, 13 and through college. Then when Facebook became more of like a tool to keep in touch with your friends and your family, I'm the person who writes those like long captions, which some people love and some people can't stand. Very, you know, heartfelt, well thought out. And people would send me messages like, you need to write a book. Like, you're just really good with your words. And I've always been that way. I've loved writing papers in college. If you had to make me do a test, I'd prefer to just write the paper. I've always been that way. So for years, I would always hear from random family friends or family members, you need to be writing. You need to be writing magazine articles or whatever. And I was always like, okay, great, but I have bills to pay. You know, I don't know how to get started in that. I don't have an English degree, a writing degree, none of that. So a while back, my husband had actually said, he's like, you love your social media. Why don't you do something where, you know, you're going to get paid to do the stuff that you love? So I have that rap sheet of random jobs, which I'm very grateful for because, like I said, very Gary Vee, every job has value if you pull the value from it. And all of those things that I've done in the past, whether it was office management, reception, scheduling, they're all organization.
I was going to say, it seems like the common theme there is organization. And
yeah.
I would assume that writing a book, you have to be extremely organized with a process.
For the most part, right? That's how I am. Because a lot of people are like, oh, did you have an outline of what you wanted to write? And I didn't. In the beginning. I'm sort of all over the place here, but it was the people telling me for years of my life, you really should be writing a book because you're great with your words. Okay, thank you. Mm-hmm. I did a lot of social media and digital marketing back in the day, which also helped me to, you know, how to briefly sort of sell a product, how to long-winded sell a product or sell myself, you know, as far as the idea of what I was selling. And finally, I said to my husband in the beginning of the year, I said, I don't really want a career of digital marketing. I don't want to turn 40, 45, 50 and be doing digital marketing. It's not what I envision myself doing. And on my bucket list, we have a whole lot of items about where we want to visit and where we want to retire and what kind of house we want.
Where do you want to retire? I'm curious.
We want to go to Tennessee. We're going down south. Yeah.
Really? Why Tennessee?
We vacationed there. We were supposed to go to Dominican Republic for our 10+2 year anniversary because COVID got in the way of 10 years.
Whoa. You just said our 10+2 year. Why wouldn't it be our 12 year?
Well, because it was our 10 year anniversary trip.
You're a writer, not a
trip.
Mathematician. I understand that.
I'm absolutely. I'm terrible with numbers. 10 year would have been COVID. So it was the big 10 year anniversary celebration +2 year because we couldn't vacation.
I'm so confused.
The point is, we were celebrating our 10 year anniversary, which is a milestone.
Yes. No. I understand that. But plus two, you're losing me. Like, is it a 12
year?
Well,
if I said though,
celebrated your 10 year on the 12th year.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Okay.
Get with me.
I need a process. I'm the big.
That's my problem.
I understood it differently. Yeah. Romance novel plus two.
Oh, gotcha.
Where are we going with this? I don't know.
I have a question though for you.
Yes.
Oh, wait, no. Finish on the Tennessee thought. Yeah,
oh, well, we were booked to go on a beautiful trip to the Dominican Republic. And like a month before, there was a huge hurricane. Couldn't go there. Yep. Got canceled. on that bucket list. We wanted to visit Nashville, Pigeon Forge, a whole bunch of Tennessee places. We went, we did Nashville for 3 days, loved it, but it's like going to Vegas, like max 3 days and you're donezo.
A lot of country out there?
Country music, a lot of big drinkers.
Country music.
You would, you've got never
no plans,
been there?
I ain't going nowhere.
Oh my God.
Yeah, that's you, good. What song is that?
Fast Car.
Hey.
I was belting that on the way down.
I think that's the only song he knows, by the way.
No, I know a little Tim McGraw.
Morgan Wallen?
Go ahead, Morgan
sing.
Wallen.
Yeah. Go ahead, sing us one.
Last night we lit.
You right, would so, love Broadway. That's the whole main strip in Nashville.
Gotcha. Yeah, but my sister goes a lot too.
We did that for 3 days and then we got a small cabin in the middle of nowhere in Pigeon Forge and we loved it. You know, we were the Italians. He joked, Jay, he goes, the Bears are going to be like when the Italians get here because we were making stromboli and soup and shrimp pasta. And we loved it. We loved the small living. We loved the quiet living. We loved the mountains. He's a hunter. And I think a lot of people who went to high school with me would be like Mary Lucia. That's my maiden name from the Bronx. She's going to Tennessee. But I think that's a big part of life. You evolve.
Yep,
right.
Yeah.
But anyways, yeah, that's.
That's how Tennessee came about.
That's how Tennessee came about. But the writing of the book is everybody really giving their two cents, you know, you yeah. should be writing. And then I started the process of figuring out how.
Gotcha. Question. So off air, I guess this is via Instagram. We had a conversation about you just kind of starting, right? And how, I guess, talk to the audience on how do you take the first like actionable step when you don't know the outcome, because our last episode with Diamandia Lingos, which Yahoo actually picked up. So
yeah,
if you
wonderful.
Haven't checked that out, check out episode 160 with Diamandia. She explained something to CV and I and the audience that was very, it was a great process. And her thought process was basically like, listen, I'm still insecure about all the stuff that I do. And she's out here in bikinis and lingerie, and she actually hates it, mm-hmm. which is ironic. So she gets these moments of insecurities where she said it used to cripple her for a long period of time. And she's been able to dial that back down to like a 30-second reel where she's like, okay, I'm in my negative thought today, 30 seconds. And then bang, she just takes that actionable step, right? That was pretty profound for me to hear. And I think it really resonated with us. So how do you just start something when you don't know the outcome of what this book is going to do?
There's a bunch of things. So the first one is that I have the mentality of why not me? I know I have a lot of strong skill sets and I'm a good person and I'm enjoyable to be around. And there's no reason that I can't be successful in something that I really truly want to do rather than just going to work for other people's companies, which, like I said, I've learned a lot from working for other people's companies, but it's other people's companies.
Right.
And the time that I would spend on it took away from my own family that now it's a lot of time to write a book, but I'm doing it for myself and for my family. So right. that's the first part, that it's why not me? And failure is really not an option. I'm going to figure it out and I'm going to do it because I don't really want a plan B. I love working from home. I love the selective, sociable side of being an author. I'm either in a hole. It might be the Scorpio side of me, too. I'm in a hole.
Hey, shout out Scorpios.
In a hole by myself, responsible for myself. I always used to hate group projects when I was younger. I'm responsible for myself, the amount of words I'm getting on the page that day. And when it's time for book signings or time to meet readers, I thrive. I love meeting people. I love talking to people. Mm-hmm. So as far as writing the book was, I started to say before, I Googled how long is a romance novel, between 80 and 100,000. Cool, I picked 90,000. I said, how many chapters is usually a book? It really gave a vague answer, but 3,000-ish words per chapter divided. I'm like, let's go for 30. Here's what my story is, which the beginning of this too is the title of the book is Vivi il Momento. It is Italian for live in the moment. And it's inspired by a trip we took to Italy in 2015, Jay and I with my parents and their friends. And over a year ago, I actually, before I even knew I wanted to write a book, I got Vivi il Momento tattooed on my leg, on my hip, a big ass tattoo. Because after I had my daughter, I very quickly realized I have an astounding amount of anxiety that I always planned around. In like I'm the planner. So I would have a system for everything. I would leave 5 minutes early to make sure I was everywhere on time. I would plan social outings 4 weeks in advance, which, even though it doesn't sound like it, I am fun at parties, but you know.
Listen, I think you'd be extremely fun at parties. Bring that crumb cake and we got something going on.
Crumb cake and romance novels. But yeah, once you have a child, you can't plan as much as you used to. And I think I had a moderate amount of postpartum, and both of those things combined, basically discovering, hey, you have anxiety. You've had it your whole life. Probably you've just managed it by overplanning everything. You have to chill out now because you have a kid and things change. You have a daughter, you know, like you have something important to do tomorrow and you hope that she's not going to get sick. You hope right. She's going to have a good night's sleep, but
it all goes to shit real quick.
Yeah. And so I had gotten that tattooed on my leg before I even knew I wanted to write a book. And then when I realized I was going to write a romance novel, and I said, well, there's really no place more romantic than I've ever been than when we went to Italy. We stayed in a villa in Tuscany. We went to Rome, Venice, Florence. The police there are just like models walking around. Like they might put your beard to shame, Dave.
Wow.
I know.
Disrespect.
Big statement. Wow. But they wear their uniforms, tighten the sleeve. They're just handsome guys. And you're there and you're like, woo, this is like next level. So when I decided, hey, I want to write a romance story, you write what you know. I said, I can make an entire novel out of this. A girl from America vacations in Italy, falls in love with a hot cop in Rome. They have a one night stand. And she basically tries to enjoy as much of the moments as she can without worrying too far in the future. Vivi il memento. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they see what's destined for them after that, which is all tied into me. I joke, vivi il memento-ing, because I don't speak Italian. My husband does. And sort of stopping and enjoying moments as they come in order to just enjoy life the most I can.
Wow.
Sounds like it could be like a Hallmark movie.
Yeah, no, it's a
Is
great,
that the next step?
It's a great concept.
I actually sent a big package to Danny Garcia, The Rock's ex-wife, because they have their movie company, because I can't tell you how many people have
said. Wait, Danny Garcia is The Rock's ex-wife? Oh, I thought you were talking about Danny Garcia, the fighter. No. The boxer. No. Oh, okay.
I mean, she's brolic, though.
Danny Garcia. Gotcha. Okay. Yeah.
Danny Garcia, the Rock.
She's behind, like, the XFL. She's, like, the...
She's the brains.
Yeah, she's everywhere. Anything that he does, you'll see, like, her name, like, plastered.
They're business partners. Yeah. They're people who got divorced who, like, wholly function together. Hmm. And they're both remarried. But they have their movie production company, and I just think she's a kick-ass woman, right? So I sent her a package. Haven't heard back yet, but so many people said this should be a movie. It's basically, if you've ever watched Under the Tuscan Sun, old school Italian movie with Diane Lane, and if you've seen From Scratch on Netflix, which is a newer series, it's the two of them combined. It's great.
So selfishly, do you think I could play the cop in the movie?
You could.
I mean, can we make this happen?
You know what? Maybe for Halloween.
This is about value exchange, right?
You need a Polizia uniform.
I think I can do this.
And eventually we're going to get you to read a little snippet. So see how you do, Dave.
Okay. All right. I'm down.
Okay.
I wanted to ask you about your confidence. Where does your confidence come from to actually put this all into play? So I can understand the organizational skill set, right? Because I think that's pretty clear. Even your whole presentation of everything that you do.
Thank you.
I would say, just from the short period of time that we've been talking, going back and forth, I mean, resilient, very perseverant. Is that a word? Perseverant?
I'm an author. I'm supposed
You have
to know
the ability to persevere.
Yes.
You almost, I believe, you have this like nonstop mentality. You're just going to go get it, right?
Yeah.
So where did that all come from? Because I think that that skill set builds confidence. But where did that like come from? Was that something that you had early on, or did you develop that over time?
I'm the baby of the family.
What's the family looking like? Talk to me.
Got my dad, my mom, my older brother, who is, he'll be 46, my sister, who will be 42, and I'll be 39. So there's, you know, 3 years between each of us, and we're Italian-American family. They used to joke, my grandfather and his uncle used to own a funeral home in the Bronx and on Long Island. Right. So when I moved from Long Island to New Jersey, everybody's like, oh, what does your dad do? Whatever. And they would just joke. They're like, your dad is definitely in the mafia.
Yeah.
And I'm like, no, actually, he works for Prudential Insurance. But, you know, But yeah, it's my dad, my mom, my sister, and my brother. And as the baby of the family, I think it can go either way. Sometimes babies of the family get a bad rap because you sort of don't have any focus and you fall behind and you never really kind of get your shit together. Mm-hmm. And I'm a little bit, well, a lot the opposite of that, where you have to be loud to stand out and get attention or else people forget about you. I am the loud person in my family. I'm the one that plans the parties. I'm the one that keeps everybody talking. And that's what they say. I'm not just, you know, saying that about myself.
I can attest to the talking part. You ask a lot of questions, which forces conversation.
Yeah.
But you address it because you're like, I know I'm asking a million questions, but I'm actually not done for the day. So she'll like circle back in 4 hours. It's great. But it keeps the conversation.
Well, and that's a funny part, because that would be like when you grow up in an Italian household. Yep. You know when dad is like done listening, and you know when, as you know, a chick, you've sort of gone over your limit.
Yep.
And that's the thing I love most about my husband. He is also Italian American, but he does not have that quality. He actually makes me look like I do not talk that much. You would really truly love him. He is a conversationalist. He's the most wonderful person that I know. But as far as like all of the confidence, it's a mixture. It's being the baby, forcing myself to be loud, be heard, to stand out. And like I said, failure is not an option. I have an innate desire to make everybody around me proud, but mostly myself, because I very often say when I'm 80 or 90, you know, hopefully I live that long, that I want to look back and say, wow, you did all of that. Mm-hmm. You didn't waste any time. And if God forbid, you know, you went early, I would want everybody to say she did everything she wanted to do in the time that she did it. And she found the reasons to do things. That's a big thing I say all the time. Yeah. Find the reasons to do things, not to do them.
How'd you keep your identity, I guess, as a stay-at-home mom? I feel like a lot of women that I know personally in my circle, they struggle a lot when they bring a baby into the world, right? And some of them are stay-at-home moms, and then some of them have to go back to work after a certain period of time. But I've seen a lot of struggle amongst mothers. And how did you deal with that?
I think there's a bunch of different things that happen with women when they become mothers. And you have a variety of groups. You have the women who absolutely love motherhood. Their life is complete because they are a mother. They want nothing more to be a mother. I have a best friend who has 4 kids, and it is the absolute joy in her life to stay home with those 4 kids and raise them. She loves it. I love being a mother, but I have so many other things that I also want to accomplish that I always have. And very often you could feel guilty for even saying that out loud, because I'm not shaming the mother who loves being a mother, because it's not just being a mother. You're fully embracing motherhood, and that is what brings you most joy. I think that's wonderful. There's also women who go to work and have a career because they studied and got degrees and they had careers before they had kids, because everything's very different now. Mm-hmm. When our parents were having kids, they were 18, 19, 20. And without it sounding rude, you know, you're young and dumb back then. You don't know any different. You're not going out to dinners. You're not vacationing. You basically went from school to starting families. You don't know what you're missing. You just do it. And by the time your kids are grown, you're essentially our age-ish, mm-hmm. right? And then I think I'm a little bit in the middle. I love family life. I love doing wonderful things with my family. My husband, especially, after we did a lot of hard work on ourselves to get to this point. But there are so many other things on that bucket list of mine that I want to accomplish, that I want to do it in addition to raising an independent girl that I have, so that she knows she can make that decision later on in life. You don't have to just be put into one of those boxes. Mm-hmm. You could do whatever you want to do, whether you have children or not.
I receive all of it. And I see, because it's relatable even to me, because I see it. You know, I really see it. And I see individuals in my close circle who are just all into motherhood. That's their fulfillment. Mm-hmm. And then there's a lot of women who are mothers and phenomenal mothers, but they just have other career, you know, goals and their own wants and desires, and they're set out to accomplish it. And you can still do both. So I think it's a very healthy message that you're
And I,
you're
I think
forth.
The biggest part of that is owning it. Mm-hmm. So if whichever type of mother you are, like fully embrace that type of mother you are with no apologies about it, because
that's the hard part though, right?
It like, is.
Because society, for whatever reason,
oh yeah,
you know, might condemn you for, you know, like you have to stay home and that's how you feel, right? Mm-hmm. Like you have to stay home, you have to cook, you have to clean, when in reality, you really don't have to do that.
There you
can
don't
be
have
a blend
do,
of it. Yeah. You can have a stay at home. I would actually love to be a stay at home dad.
Jay says that all the
time. I swear. I think I'd be elite. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'd go for a walk, right? I'd go for a walk in the morning. I'd hit the gym. I'd drop the kids off at school, come back, cook some food. What am I doing? I love to clean the house. Like, I'll hit the dishes. I'll keep the laundry done. Like, but I just don't know. I've never done it for an extended period of time.
I was just going to say that's all wonderful until you hit that 5 o'clock mark. And you want to throw yourself out a window because
right.
it's
well,
a lot.
That's where honey comes home. And you're like, honey, here you go. Have fun with the
that
kids.
That is Jay when he comes you know? Home. He and this is probably one of his best qualities. He walks through that door and he says, babe, where do you need me? And every day it's a different answer.
Yeah.
Some days I had a wonderful day with my daughter and I'm like, oh, I don't need you anywhere. I'm making an elaborate dinner. She's playing by herself. I have my shit together that day. There's yeah,
she
other.
She was chefing up something good the other day.
She is a mini chef.
Yeah, yeah.
She could be on Little Baking
Junior. You
didn't
let her touch this crumb cake though, did you? Because I know what my daughter
she
does when
crumbs.
She cooks. Okay, all right.
She mixed the crumbs, but no, I assembled the rest. But there's some days he comes home and he looks at my face and he's like, "Oh, one of those days."
How again? Timeline thing, right? Was your daughter in daycare when you're doing this?
No.
How are you writing a 95? First of all, 95,000 words sounds absurd to me, but. How are you writing this? Like, are you doing it in between nap schedules? Like, because she was two.
She was
right?
three.
She's how old now?
She's going to be four, so she's three.
She's going to be four? When's her birthday?
January 28th.
Okay.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Yeah.
But no, she was not napping. She hasn't napped for over a year. This is another part of, I think, just motherhood is your kids sort of learn what to expect from you and sort of whatever boundaries that you have. Mm-hmm. And this is a hard thing that I went through, too, is that oftentimes when you look at social media, right, you see the very happy couples and you don't see what goes on behind closed doors, the very happy families. You see a lot of mom and parenthood stuff, you know, the moms who do all these wonderful things with their kids and they're posting every minute of the day. And it makes you feel like you're never doing enough if you let it. But on the flip side, I feel confident in knowing that every day I do at least an activity or two specifically with her. We're coloring. We're going to the mall. We're cooking together. We're making breakfast together. She has screen time. It's 2023. We watched cartoons when we were younger and we're all fine. You know, there's some screen time. There's playing by herself. She's got her own kitchen set up, her princess house. She's got a ton of toys thanks to a very wonderfully loving family. And I think a big aspect of sort of raising an independent kid, male or female, you have to be comfortable playing with yourself. You have to entertain yourself at certain points. Mm. And it is not my job as a parent to entertain you every minute of the day because that's not real life. You're going to go to somebody else's house and expect that. You're going to go to school and expect somebody to pay attention to you every minute of the day. And that's not life. So I would tell her, and I've talked to her like an adult since she's been little. I think it's a reason why she has a very good vocabulary that she does. She can have a full-blown conversation with you right now. Mommy has to write. You know, I have to write for the next few hours and we'll break in the middle and we'll have lunch or I set up the dining room with like how they do it at school. Here's different activities for you to do. And then once mommy's done, we're going to spend, you know, quality time, me and you together. And I'll sit on the couch and he goes, Mom, you're writing? She knows. She just knows. So, and I had to put those boundaries into place and also thankful to my husband, my mother and my mother-in-law, because when I really needed to hit my chapter count for a certain week and I was running short on time, hey, can you come? Because I need like a full uninterrupted day to write. Mm. I had a timing. If I was writing a chapter and I'm interrupted, meaning I'm mothering and parenting and all that stuff where we have some place to be, it could take me 6 hours to write a chapter in a day. Mm. If I have no disruptions, it takes me four. So I know how many chapters I could write per week. I knew how long it was going to take me. And
calculated. Very calculated.
Pretty much, yeah.
Are you stubborn?
My husband, when he watches this, I would love to. Maybe I need to videotape him. Hi, babe. I would love to videotape him as he watches this. I am stubborn. And we have actually fun names we call each other, like when we're doing the things that annoy the other person, but trying not to be rude about it.
Like what? Give me an example.
I could be Kathy Controls when I need to like.
Oh, gotcha.
Like I'm raising an independent girl because I am an independent girl. You know, I drive myself. I could drive 4 hours by myself. I have certain friends who have never gone over a bridge.
What, do you want a driver? Like, come on here.
Well, no, certain friends that like, and she'll laugh at this. She does not like leaving, did not used to like leaving Long Island. She didn't want to drive by herself, you know? And since I've been able to drive, I don't care where I'm going. I'll get on a plane by myself. I do whatever by myself. And my husband is very chivalrous and he wants to help do everything. So two type A personalities who are very capable of taking care of themselves, being in a relationship where you don't step on each other's toes is really hard. So stubbornness, maybe a little bit less than a little bit of a control freak sometimes that I have to chill out with, because that is, I need to have control over things, which is also the VVO memento, is trying to remember to chill out, live in the moment and stop trying to plan everything.
You talk a lot about Jay and it's all great stuff. The importance of the solid relationships in a support system, is something that's obviously critical while you're chasing your dreams and he's chasing his. You guys seem to have a very solid relationship. Has it always been this solid? And was communication, because you and I spoke a lot about, you know, communication off air, that we're going to begin to touch on now. Was the communication always good? And then if it wasn't, how did you get to this level now?
It wasn't. Jay and I, we've known each other my whole life. So Jay's grandparents and my grandparents went to grammar school in the Bronx together.
Wow.
Jay's mom and her boyfriend and my father went to grammar school together. And when back in the days where you could just go into a hospital after somebody gave birth, Dave's going back for the crumb cake.
Come on, why you gotta blow me up? You're telling a story. It was the perfect time for me to indulge in a little crumb cake.
Okay, you indulge. Back in the days when people came to visit in the hospital, Jay's name is written in the guest book because his mom brought him and his brother to come see my mom when she gave birth to me. So I joke that he's the first boy I ever met and he's the one that I married. And he's 7 years older than me. So when we were younger, like his mom, Roseanne, who I just absolutely adore, she used to send Christmas card pictures and it was Jay's football picture. You probably have the same picture where you're on one knee and you're...
The Wheaties box?
Pretty much. Yeah. And I was 5 and he was 12 and I remember kissing the picture on our refrigerator.
Wow.
Which could be how I started writing romance
novels. It's a romance novel, you know? If I've ever seen one.
I also used to kiss Patrick Swayze on Dirty Dancing on the TV as well. So I was a little unhinged well, back in the day. but I've always had that like little piece in my heart for him. But you know, when you're 12 and 19, it's inappropriate. And his stepdad sings like Elvis, not corny Elvis. He has a beautiful Elvis voice and he does Elvis shows for years. And I was at one 2009 and I sat and talked to his grandmother the whole night and Jay was not there. And she went home. Shout out to Faye Filomena. She's not here anymore either. But she went home that night and said, I was talking all night to Mary at the show. Where were you? And Jay was like, what do you mean? Where were you? Like, he was like, you know, he was living at home at the time, but he's like, I didn't even know where you guys were. He found me on Facebook. We started talking. We had our date 2 weeks later in Stamford. Is Capriccio still here? Okay.
I don't know.
Our first date was Capriccio. In Stamford, sure, actually, now that I'm remembering, recalling. 2 weeks later, we had our first date. We were engaged in 5 months. We had our wedding venue booked before we were even officially engaged. And we went very quickly. Like, he was the gentleman I always wanted. And I used to say, I want to marry a guy like my dad and my brother without their bad qualities, which I've
That's
said that
tough. Yeah.
Over and over. And Jay is that. Mm-hmm. Everybody has their own set of qualities they got to work on. But Jay is exactly that. But when you get together so quickly with somebody, you know, we didn't live with each other. You know, you sort of skip that whole 3 years of dating where everything's sort of like wonderful, you know, and you go right into owning a home, paying bills. Commuting, we both commuted nearly 2.5 hours every day from up in Dutchess County to Westchester County. It was like back in recession times, you know, it was hard to find jobs and life just took a hold of us really quickly. And in the middle, we've been together, we'll be together, our anniversary is in November for 13 years, we'll be married. The middle sector of that was really hard, really hard. And I think anybody who's married knows communication is just, a lot of people hear that and they roll their eyes. Yeah, okay, sure, communication. It is, for me, the nucleus of every relationship you have. Marriage, family, friends, parents, like to my daughter. It's how you communicate your thoughts, how you say it, your delivery, your tone, and your message of what you're trying to get through. And we did a lot of work in the middle there because it was, it got not good in the middle where there was just a lot of resentment. Who's doing what they think? We were talking about love languages before. Yeah. Who thinks they're doing what they're supposed to be doing for the other person, but you're really not doing what that other person needs or wants. You're doing what you think they need or want.
Yes, yes.
Which is very different than being the person that the other person really needs.
Right.
And it's very hard to say that to somebody who is, he's calling my grandmother. He cooks. He helps clean. He is amazing. And when we were going through therapy, people were like, Jay and Mary need to do therapy? Like, I don't really believe in love. I had a friend who told me that. Like, I don't believe in love if the two of you can't keep it together. Mm-hmm. But through the therapy, we realized very quickly, because even our therapist said, I've never seen two people get through something as quickly as the two of you did. We took it back to our basics, which was, why did you fall in love with each other to begin with? And every single reason that we listed was still viable. It was just the middle of our, and Jay says this, he's like, we had a long walkway of our journey and it kind of got covered with leaves, with grass, with dirt, with whatever you want to call it. Mm-hmm. And you had to uncover that pathway to understand where you sort of went wrong. And it takes two people to apologize, to fix different parts of themselves, and to want to be the best person for the other person. Where I always used to see people say like, oh, my husband's my best friend. And for a solid few years there, I was like, my husband is not my best friend. I don't feel like that. I don't feel supported. And if he was sitting here, he did not feel supported by me. Mm-hmm. And I'm big on that, too. We touch on that later in the book. Like, I'm not a, you know, happy wife, happy life gal. I think it's bullshit. You need both people to be equally happy in a relationship and respected and cared for it to work. And Jay was not satisfied. He was not happy. He didn't feel heard. He didn't feel cared for, because mm-hmm. we got so far away from the nucleus of what made us fall in love to begin with. But when we figured out how best to communicate, how to understand each other better, is when we uncovered the relationship we want to have and that we have now. That I don't think I would have been able to write this book had we not gone through all of that ahead of time. I would have felt like a phony writing a romance novel, because mm-hmm. a lot of people are like, oh my God, where do I get a Gennaro? And I'm like, well, that it's pretty much based on my husband, you know. So, and it took a lot of work to get there.
Yeah. Thank you for sharing all that.
Yeah.
And you explained it very well. Are you a good communicator? Obviously, you're a good communicator when it comes to writing. Mm-hmm. Does that translate over to actual, like, articulation when you're in an uncomfortable space? And did therapy, like, help that to bring clarity to the communication style?
The thing that I think I needed to work on was that also as the baby of the family, mm-hmm. I very quickly react and I very quickly get defensive and I'll defend myself right away. Well, what do you mean? Like, no, that's not what I, you know, and that annoys Jay, used to annoy him to no end. Like he felt like he couldn't say anything without me being like, no, I didn't do that. He was like, but you did, you know? So my communication has improved to be less, and we were just joking about, you know, if I'm Kathy Control and my other alter ego is Debbie Defensive, he calls me.
All right. Those are good.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people can relate to that.
Debbie Defensive. So like immediately, rather than just listening, and that's the big thing. Communicating is communicating. Talking mm-hmm. is talking. Listening, you need to listen. And I think that's where a lot of people get caught up is that. And Jay says this too. He's just, I love him so much because he's wonderful. But he said, listening is a lost art. To really truly listen to somebody and understand how they feel and why they're feeling it without interrupting, it's a lost art. You know, we're so quick to do things on social media and people post and you talk and everybody loves to hear themselves talk. And I do too, to be honest. Like I'm very much enjoying being here because I love a platform like this. I love getting to know you and I love it. But listening to people to really truly understand them is a lost art. And even you doing this, like you said before, like, okay, the spotlight's on me because it's my story and part of my personality, especially now. I'm like, no, but I'm a giver. I want to hear from you too, Dave. Like, talk to me about your life. Like, yep. I don't want it to be just about me. And I really think that therapy helped with that as well.
Yeah. listening, and that's gold that Jay shared with you, but even in business too, you know, listening to people is a critical skill, and it's definitely a lost art, because what we do is while the other person is talking, we begin to get Davey or Debbie defensive, right? And we start articulating our own thoughts, which mm-hmm. takes away from the other individual that's speaking, because somebody is in your face telling you probably something that you need to hear when it's in that uncomfortable moment, mm-hmm. right? And we neglect that so often and so much. And I had to do a lot of work on myself too. And I, you know, I've shared many times, I'm a huge proponent of therapy, 6+ years on myself, and it's changed my life, you know. But men in general, typically, and especially Italian men,
oh yeah,
we, you know, hold this macho bravado thing where, like, you know, you can't talk. There's no need. I'd rather flip out and punch a wall, mm-hmm. you know, which is actually the opposite of what you should be doing. And even now with my daughter as a father, right? Yeah. Like, I want to be that example for her to, when she grows up, I want her to say, I want somebody like my father, mm-hmm. you know? So all my actions are in some way, like, based around that. But the listening piece is huge.
Yeah.
We wanted to take a quick second to let you guys know that we partnered with our good friends over at Orgain.com. We're happy to offer our listeners 30% off by entering the code NOSNOOZE30. Again, that's NOSNOOZE30 for 30% off your first order. If you're on the market for a new protein powder, nutritional shake, protein bar, or Mike's favorite, collagen peptides, Orgain is your one-stop shop. As all of you know, my Crohn's disease is currently in remission, and the only protein I use is from Orgain. My personal favorites are the chocolate peanut butter and the vanilla bean. With the code, you can try a 2-pound tub for under $20. Talk about not snoozing. Go get yours today. Now, back to the epi.
Romance in real life and in the books. Huh? Real men read romance.
I'm starting a movement.
So what? Yeah, talk to me about this.
It's kind of really, it's based on the therapy side of things that I think... Not every woman is necessarily a good communicator, but oftentimes...
I'd agree with that. Replay that back. I'd agree with that.
but oftentimes they are saying things for a certain amount of time or in a certain amount of ways to convey how they're feeling. Mm-hmm. And I joke that probably the first step to a therapy would be a guy reading a book like this. And let me be clear, there's lots of different romance novels. There are the very slow ones that, you know, if they kiss by chapter 40, you're lucky, right? That's not what this is. There's very smutty ones where it's basically like you're reading porn, which is also not what this is. Mm-hmm. I had a very distinct goal, which was to write a real life romance that could be two very real people. It talks about life. It talks about relationship issues. It has two people speaking kindly to each other, learning about each other. And like I said before, this isn't just about treating the female in the book like a queen. And I don't believe in that. You know, I come here bearing gifts for you guys who before today I did not know, essentially, because that's what I do. I'm a giver in many ways. And I respect you guys for what you do. And thank you again for having me on. But I put my heart and soul into people that mean a lot to me. And then, yes, of course, you expect that back. But I don't ever agree with the, like I said before, happy wife, happy life. Like, you have to be putting just as much into your partner in order for your relationship to thrive. So in my book, it's the same thing. The main character, Mia, and the main character, Gennaro, like, they're both spending equal amounts of time and energy and effort on each other to navigate the issues that they experience in order to hopefully have their happy ending. And that was very important to me. It's not just, okay, there's two people, me, and they're, you know, having sex throughout the whole book or whatever. Like, it's true romance. It's inspired by true romance and true people. So my thing is, like, if a guy read this, yeah, there are spicy parts, because of course you want spicy parts in a relationship. It's boring without that. But also the communication, because when my brother first read it, he sort of said something like, okay, the guy's talking too much. And I'm like, well, that's the point. We sort of want you to communicate more, you know. We want to have that communication with our partners.
Yes.
So I write about that a lot.
I'm willing to give this a shot.
Yes. Okay.
You want to pull a snippet out?
I have two snippets, Dave, and you're going to read one of each.
You come prepared. Oh, I should have known.
Girls, get ready. Okay. Maybe some guys, I don't know who our listeners are. But we have a spicy. And we have a romantic.
What voice am I putting on for this?
I'll leave that up to you.
Does he have to read both of the snippets?
He's reading.
I don't think I want to hear the spicy one coming
Claudio,
out of his mouth.
Can you mute your headphones?
He might enjoy this one.
Okay, so spicy here. You're going to read this paragraph here.
Okay.
To this paragraph.
How many words is that?
You're going to make it, Dave.
This is
so
a lot.
So start with your spicy.
Okay. Where my head fell backwards.
Hold on. Can I?
Wow.
I want to do my own video here.
Wow. Okay. So this is a first. We have a live production going on. And then we have
I'm a lady
Mary
who takes
Bell.
Control.
There
yes.
you go.
Okay,
all right.
Go ahead.
My head fell backwards and I deeply exhaled with a muffled moan. I was used to being the one in charge, but maybe that was because I hadn't yet found someone who knew what I wanted and when I wanted it. She started kissing my neck and slowly traced her lips down to my chest. Her hands followed, forcing my senses into complete overdrive.
You're doing great.
I felt the soft touch of her fingers paired with the sharp scratch of her nails, and it sent blood rushing through me. In slow motion, she lowered herself to the ground, pulling my pants with her. Wow. What did I say? Exhaled. Exhaled? Exhaled. That was a weird word. That was exhaled.
For the audio version, please contact us at nuffnews.com. Thank you.
Why did I say it like that? This is spice. Spicy.
I think you didn't even really get into the spicy, but that's okay.
You want me to just keep going?
I feel like you should.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Check it. I made the mistake of looking down at the same exact time she grabbed the back of my knees and gazed back up at me. With a slight smirk, she slowly stood back up and led me to the shower. It was a large one with a rainfall shower head and a wooden teak bench on the opposite side. I thought back to when I toured the property before signing the lease and wondered what the hell I would need a shower this size for. I now had the answer.
Perfect. Also, the large one, Claudio, was the shower.
Claudio. Oh, wow. I just went over to the other page. It says, I'm soaking wet. She smiled.
Yes.
Is that from the shower or other things going on?
No, there's other things. But I gave you rated R, not
How'd
X.
I do?
You did good, but go to the romance one.
All right.
Because this is important to me, too. It's spicy, but it's also romantic.
Well, there's a lot of words again.
Oh, here. Let me tell you. Which.
There's a lot of words again. A lot of
exhaled.
Words. Exhaled.
Exhaled.
It's like exiled.
Mm-hmm.
I was gonna say there's a grammatical error in here.
To save my own
behind. This is fun.
You know what? Start on the back.
You
here.
Have a good voice for reading for
Actually,
the audio.
Actually, I
thing.
Need to do an audiobook.
Oh
so
wow!
Like,
if you guys,
hired.
I mean, you guys can't. You guys are hearing it live, but yeah. and in my headphones.
Sounds good.
Yeah, your voice is like it's good. It's like a
do
like a
I
radio voice.
I reiterated what she already knew. I love you, Mia. She wrapped her arms around my waist, moved in as close as our bodies would allow, and reminded me why I had never let anyone else in. This is Italian.
You know, you could do it.
Anch'io ti amo?
Sure. I don't know either. We need Jay here to translate.
Anch'io ti amo, she said. Oh, God. I exhaled. Slowly.
Very good.
Closed my eyes and vowed to never forget what this exact moment felt like. She loved me too. And for the first time in my life, I had everything I never dreamed of. My life had been changed significantly in a very short amount of time, all for the better. One brief moment on the streets of Rome and a second chance follow-up. I lived in the moment. And it led me to love. It led me to her.
Attaboy. You're hired for the audiobook.
I'm telling you, I think we're getting a deal out of this whole thing.
Let's go.
All my author friends
wait till you guys hear this back. When you guys hear this back, especially if you're like in a car
good.
Or in
They're
going
to be like, he's an idiot. He can't even say exhaled. What is that?
Exhaled.
Why is that such a weird word?
I'm very
exhaled.
Proud of you, Dave. That was good.
Exhaled. But did you think I was not going to crush it?
I did not think that. No,
okay.
I didn't.
And for the listeners, we had no prior. I did not see that.
No, because you only read to page 80.
Listen,
you've had the book.
I had the book for months. 8 days times 10. I knew it was coming quick. I had some things going on. You know, I snoozed a little bit.
You went over though. 8 days.
Now you got
88 pages.
What? Yeah, that's
you
what
went
I'm
more than 10. That's good. That's
80. How's your math?
12. No.
What?
No.
8 times 10. 80. 80.
And you said 88 pages. You said you got
no.
Up
I
to
said
page
80 because I was trying to inflate myself, but it was 80.
I thought you said 88.
No.
I'm proud.
Yeah. Listen, Mary comes. This is heavy too.
Yeah, be careful.
So, this is Scorpio season, as we know. My birthday.
Wait,
first of all,
to you.
Thank you. Oh, you do have a good voice.
Yeah, thanks.
But my daughter, Callie Michelle, she told me that she didn't want to come to my birthday. I said, why? And she said, because you're getting old, and that makes me sad.
I could listen to them talk all day. Oh. Not really, but yes.
So what do you got going on? Look at you with the Mary Bell products. Like, this is a gift in itself.
I'm a details gal.
Yeah, I can tell here. Oh, we got a bottle.
That's a
Buffalo Trace action.
A Jaybird favorite.
Kentucky Straight Bourbon.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. Wow, Listen, and by the way, if anyone was curious, we were talking about love languages. We said this off air. I don't discriminate. I love them all.
Dave loves them all.
All right.
Dave wants the words, the gifts.
Is a t-shirt in here?
There is. Yes. As you're opening it,
Oh my goodness. Padron cigar.
I'm going to pay attention.
This is incredible.
Guy. Yeah. That you said that on with Tony Peck.
Yes.
Tony Peck is my favorite guest of yours by far so
far. Wow. Shout out Tony Peck. Wow. Okay. So
and I also redesigned my logo so that real men could read and wear a shirt.
Is this going to fit me? What size did you get me?
I got you extra large.
It is. You got me an extra large. Okay, good.
Yeah. That's a very nice color.
It is. It's a
Why,
very
does it look
nice
big?
Color. It looks a little big, but
it's just an extra
Should
large.
I put it on now?
Dave likes them extremely shrunken down.
You know what, though? Maybe it'll wash and shrink.
Notepad. And I'm not going to read. You want me to read the card?
No, you could read that later.
Yeah, I'll read that later.
I mean, you'll appreciate the message in it, but let me
thank
shout
you
out.
Very much.
The shirt is Jacob, who is a 12-year Army veteran, and he's actually in the NYPD now. And he has a side hustle. He does a lot of shirts for law enforcement, but he does all of my shirts, which if you go on my website, which is marybellwithanebooks.com, I sell my books signed with bookmarks. And then there's also shirts that say Vivian Memento. That's a nice, that's tight on you. I think that'll
It's fit. Never tight enough for this guy.
Need a got no plans. I ain't going nowhere. Look at this.
I think
Boom.
That looks... Stop.
Here we
let
go.
Let me get another one.
She's running her own podcast over here.
I love my content.
On Instagram. Mary, we have a live podcast going on, and she's going live on the gram. No,
great,
this is good. I like this. This is a nice fit, too, huh?
And I asked you. That was one of my
the
questions.
Military green. Yeah, yeah.
I asked you which color.
So something about me is I look like a military guy.
Yeah.
And I'm not.
Well, don't you wear the...
I wear dog tags.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're Gucci.
Oh.
I'm bougie. You know what I mean?
Oh, dear.
I don't know.
Okay.
All right. Let's get back to this now. Talk to me a little bit about parenting, right? Like, what's been the best part thus far? So you almost 4-year-old. What's her name?
Marina.
Marina. Beautiful name.
Thanks.
What's been the best part? And then what's the most challenging part thus far?
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
The best part actually is that I think in a way, it forced Jay and I to really figure out our own stuff because you don't really realize the... ways in which you miscommunicate or, you know, aren't speaking the proper way to each other or even just enjoying day-to-day life together than when you have a kid or kids involved. And I think a lot of people tend to make the mistake to stay together without doing any work because you think you're saving your child or yourselves.
Yep.
So she sort of forced us to really reevaluate how we operate as a family, how we operate as a couple, and also what we were teaching her in the process, right? Like, as Callie said, like, you know, she's picking up that it's your birthday and you're, quote, getting old.
Yes.
They hear everything. They absorb everything. And there's still times, you know, just because we did therapy and we communicate better doesn't mean we don't argue. Right. So there's times where we could be a little spicy with each other and she'll say, Mom, no, talk that way. First of all, she's always on daddy's side. OK,
as she should be.
But Mom, no talk that way to Dad. It's not nice. And I'm like,
that is not nice, man.
You're right. You know, and like I'm telling her, I'm very big on when you go to school and you're with your friends, err on the side of being nice to everybody unless mm-hmm. somebody gives you a reason not to be.
Right.
I never want the kid that's a mean kid. And she loves being with her friends and all that stuff. But the best part about parenting, I think I had, like I said, a little moderate postpartum after I had her. I didn't love the staying at home. I didn't love the newborn thing where you're holding and you can't really do the things that you want to do. When she started to communicate and you have like a little tiny human that like understands what's coming next and how to talk to you about stuff, like I love this part. And it's aggravating in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
Their feelings, their things that they say, the constant need for attention and guidance, like it's a lot. And to answer your question, like I could sit down now and start writing a chapter and everybody's like, oh, it's going to be so great when they're potty trained. Okay, yeah, I don't have to change diapers anymore, but now it's go to the bathroom. Mom, I did a big, huge poop, you know, and okay, let me put the computer down. Yeah. Let me go wipe your coolie. And it's all part of the package. It's just difficult while you're balancing working. And my mom says this a lot. She said it's almost easier to go somewhere to work.
Oh, yeah. I
would rather than work from home while you're simultaneously
with your child. Yeah,
parenting.
But isn't their timing impeccable?
Impeccable.
I mean, it's impeccable. Like Oof. You could be right... We could be hanging out for an hour, nothing. Then the second you want to get into something, mm-hmm. try to pull you away.
Yeah.
You know, and Callie's now big on the, and it's big for me because I'm on my phone a lot. You know, yeah. I got a lot to do. And she's forced me to, and I feel really bad about it, but she's forced me to put my phone down.
Mm-hmm.
But she says, put your phone down.
Yeah.
The other day, I picked it up while I was driving.
Mm.
And she said, put your phone down while you're driving. I said, why? She said, because you're going to crash.
Yeah.
And I was like, wow. Like the awareness is becoming incredible. And I think that for me as a parent is something that I'm very diligent about now and very aware of it. Like I'm very conscious with my words around her
mm-hmm.
because she's at that age now where she picks up everything too. The other day she was playing around. She said, oh, shut up.
Yeah.
I said, what did you say? And I could just look at her. And she immediately starts crying. And then I'm like, no, don't cry. I'm really tough, though. I promise. No, I'm not. But that's been something that, like, you know, clearly she heard that. And it was probably from me or her mother somewhere, mm-hmm. you know. And the way she said it was actually correct because she wasn't telling you to shut up. She was like, oh, shut up.
Mm-hmm.
Like, funny. But I'm like, wow, this is getting to a new level now, you know. But parenting in itself is a challenge every day.
Well, you realize the whole communication aspect. So she is sweet first, and then she can get sour real quick. And she is me reincarnated. So I have patience for the first 1 to 2 passes of telling you not to do something or explaining something. And then my impatience comes out. And I'm like, okay, we need to get dressed. You know, like I already asked you 2 times. And I watch her, and she'll say something 1 time, and it's sweet as can be.
Mm-hmm.
And then she'll say something, Mom, I told you. And I'm like, where does she get this from? And Jay will sit there and be like, she talks exactly like I do, you know? And it's good in a sense, because I know I'm not a mental case. I know that being rude is not my first instinct.
Mm-hmm.
But I have some spice in the voice.
Right.
And she has that same spice because mm-hmm. she's been with me for 3.5 years.
No.
So it's a little alarming when you look at it that way. But, you know, when you're confident enough to know, like, yeah, okay, I got some spice, but I know I'm a good-hearted person and I know I do the right thing. And that's what I'm teaching her. I feel confident in knowing she's going to be nice to her friends first. But, you know, if somebody's pushing her on a slide, she's also going to say, hey, don't do that. You know, and that mm-hmm. that's a big thing for me, too. You don't want your kids to get taken advantage of, but you also don't want them to be the mean kid.
Right,
so there's like a very fine line balance that I'm actually going through now as I watch her get reports from school or see her with other kids where you don't want to be a helicopter parent, but you also want to make sure that you're not just head in the sand like, nah, she'll be fine. No, these are actually like those formative years where they're learning what's right or what's wrong. And like, no, I don't want you sticking your tongue out at some kid in dance school.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause for what reason did you do that? You know?
Yep. Yeah. Callie's daddy is a bit of a helicopter. There was some boy standing next to her. I said, what's your name, bud? Hi, Elijah. How are you?
It's the dad vibe, though.
You seem to challenge yourself just in life a lot. What is something that you're working on a personal level? Something within yourself. You want me to give you an example?
Yeah.
So at the beginning of the year, I choose a word And this year, my word was nourish.
Okay.
Right? Not only nourishing my body and what I put in it, shout out crumb cake.
Sorry.
but really nourishing and taking the time to fill the cups around me in terms of people. The important relationships in my life, I think over some time, I almost neglected them. You know, whether that be a friend, whether that be a mom, you know, my mom, personal relationships at work. So I'm really trying to take the time to fill up those people when I'm feeling that. And it's something that I have to be very mindful every day to do because, you know, I think about it now because I'm one of those guys. I said nourish on a podcast 58 times. These guys were laughing at me. but it's something that's in the forefront of my head at all times now. And it's something that I'm working on. And I still need to get a lot better with it because there's so many times where just a simple, hey, I'm thinking about you would make somebody's day, mm-hmm. you know, and I don't do it. So it's something that I've been trying to work on.
My biggest thing actually, and it's going to sound like it's a plug for the book, but it's just all related, was from having my daughter to the postpartum to realizing I have the anxiety to the tattoo on my hip to the writing of the book. I think forever from now until the rest of my life is going to be learning how to live in the moment. I'm a planner by nature. I'm a question asker by nature. Mm-hmm. I want to know the answers to things. And it's just not how life is. And there is a wonderful portion of that where you need to embrace the journey, the not having the answers to everything. And I think even from your perspective, like, I'm sure you appreciated, okay, well, at least she's organized and I'm thinking about our podcast before I got here.
3 months before.
That's me. Well, that was me. No, that was me being persistent, which is another big thing. Yes. Is let somebody else tell you no. That's a big thing my mother taught me, but mm-hmm. we could probably get to that later. But I am organized and I'm not going to show up somewhere unprepared. And on the flip side too, my husband tells me this all the time. It's great to be those things, but if something goes to shit and you don't have that plan in place anymore, you have to be malleable. You have to be able to, you know, figure it out on the fly sometimes. Mm-hmm. And he's taught me that a lot. He's really resilient. He grew up completely differently than me. He's very calm until he's not, but he would have been great in the military, actually. He does that and teaches me. And that's what I'm trying to do, is to just be a little bit more live in the moment-y, you know, be present, not need to have the answers to everything, which is really against a lot of my grain. So like, we're joking, like there is no way that I would have come on here without asking you the questions. It's just not in my nature. But there is a way I could dial that down a little bit. So not to be annoying to you, not to be annoying to myself, not to give myself, you know, anxiety for all. You can get anxious to be too prepared.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Talk to me about perseverance and building a brand. Hmm. Right. So I remember you sent me a screenshot, which was one of the funniest things I think at first that you did. You had reached out on Instagram. And then I don't know if I got back to you, didn't get back to you. Maybe it was small talk. Maybe I kind of like was like, yeah, we'll figure it out. Mm-hmm. But we weren't really taking guests at that time. Right?
Oh, yeah. No, but you had told me it was summertime.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You're right. I was very transparent with that. But then like some weeks later, you screenshot it. Well, you took a photo of your Excel sheet where I saw a No Snooze podcast, mm-hmm. reached out with a check mark, follow up with a check mark. Like, so this is something that's strategic, obviously. Mm-hmm. You sold now 800 plus copies, right? So clearly what you're doing and building your brand is working. Somebody who's out there building any sort of brand, whether it's a clothing company, whether it's a cleaning company, whether it's, you know, authoring a book, what are some tips that you know to be true now?
There's three things that come to mind as your short-term goals, your long-term goals, and asking for help from the people who know what they're doing. I don't believe you can build anything or go anywhere just with yourself. It requires a network of people. And that was another thing. I think it was Tony Peck who said that. Genuinely networking with people. Mm-hmm. Because even after he was on your podcast, I loved that episode. I sent him a message.
He's one of the best networkers I've ever seen in my life.
And he's very authentic about it. I'm pretty good at picking up on people mm-hmm. being full of shit. And he did not strike me as that. He sent me to his sister, who has a cooking page with her grandmother, because I told him about the Italian-American side and the book. She has a book now because I sent her a package. And that's all networking, right? And that's all leaning into people who have done stuff. Like, I don't think age has anything to do with anything. He's almost 10 years younger than me. He's very successful. Watching him network with people is very inspirational. And that's what I want to do. I find the people. And that was Elizabeth Lyons, my editor. She's wonderful. She's written 6 books, nonfiction memoir, but she's written 6 books. She has helped me. She has a course. You know, if anybody out there wants to write a book, you could send me a message, because I would send you the link to her Publish a Profitable Book course. It's every step by step what to do to self-publish. But I lean on people who know what they're doing or can guide me. And my short-term goals are, hey, listen, you're not going to sell 1 million copies out of the gate, and you're really not going to make a significant income from everything I've learned in the past few months selling books until you have a library of 4, 5, 6 books. So if I wrote
compound over time.
Yes, right? Yes, because the amount of people who discover me as I'm, you know, promoting myself, going to events, meeting new people, networking, somebody share something, somebody post something, it keeps going in the right direction. But I still only have 1 book for people to purchase. When I have 6, 7, 8 books, you're still going to be trending upward with the amount of people who are learning about you. But now you have multiple books for people to buy. And then now I'm getting into a more fiscally comfortable situation, because this has all been a risk. Mm-hmm. This is, and Jay and I have basically said, hey, we're going to be really uncomfortable for a year or two. And we are really uncomfortable right now. Because I've spent more money.
You're talking in terms of finances.
Finances,
right?
Yes.
Because you're backing all of this. You self-published it. Everything that you're doing now is coming out of your pockets.
Yes. So editing costs, purchasing the books, you know, the author copies through Amazon, my merchandise, you know, all of that stuff, shipping costs, everything. And some people are like, well, why wouldn't you just try to get published? And I think that speaks to what you asked before, like about confidence and perseverance. I don't really want to wait around for somebody to tell me yes.
Right.
Life is ticking us by, and it's, I think, very no snooze of me. Like, I want to do it myself, and I want to see how far I can get on my own. I have a really great idea for a single standalone book that I will pitch to a publisher, because I think it's very unique. I have to tell you about that off air. I think you'd actually really appreciate that. But I'm going to, until the time is ready for that, keep doing my books, growing my network, which is my short and long-term goals. My short-term goal right now is to get the sequel out to the editor by December and published in January. Wow. So I'll have 2 books by January, and then I hope to have at least 2 more next year. So by the end of next year, I'll have 4. We've heard it here first, so let us hopefully come back to this in a year and have it be, you know, reality. And then my long-term goal is to make it through that 1 to 2 year of discomfort, because I truly believe that you grow when things are really uncomfortable. You're forced to. I don't have a backup plan right now. And I have the support of my family, and I have the support of my husband. But my biggest thing, like I said earlier, when I'm 80 or 90 and I look back, like, are you going to be really proud of what you did? Are you going to know that you found all the reasons to do all of the things? And that's what I'm doing now. Because if I was not here tomorrow, you know, somebody could take my sequel draft and know that I was doing everything up until the last minute in order to be able to do that. But for people looking to start something new or to, you know, do any of this stuff, what are your short-term goals? What are your long-term goals? Write them down. Put, hey, I contact, you know, Dave and Mike back when I first contacted you guys and I sent you the package, and follow up. And that's a big thing. I know you normally ask people, what's the best piece of advice? And my mother has said that to me for years. Sorry, I'm doing Dave's job for him. My mother has said that. She said, let somebody else tell you no. Don't assume you're underqualified for a position. Don't assume that you won't get a job if you, you know, interview for it. Mm-hmm. Don't assume that Dave or Gina is going to get back to you to have you be on his podcast. Like, remind people, you know. And I think Diamandia said that, like, take up space. Don't dim your light. Like, I am a bright light, and I know I am persistent, but I really pride myself on not being a pain in the ass. I know when to show my face and remind people here I am, but I do it in, you know, a pretty reserved-ish manner, right? I don't think you'd have me here if I was a, you know, pain in the ass or whatever. But take up space and remind people that you're here and keep going until you reach your goals that you have. And then once you reach those goals, make new ones. Make new ones. And actually, I think it's mine. This is my copy. I sign all my books through my website, but my copy is from me to me. You did it. Now keep going. I'll do that right there.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome. I love the direction of where this is all going and the clarity that you've been able to find. And I believe it to be true. I'm happy that I got an opportunity to sit down with you. I'm not going to let you go this easy though. Since you answered one of the questions that I was going to ask you, you talked about anxiety a little bit, right? Anxiety is a big thing in the world today. For me, I didn't really know that I had anxiety for a long time. I'm sure you've heard, I call it the booms. It's a little Neanderthal-ish of me, but my heart starts beating out of my chest. And the only thing that really helps it is action. You know, like action alleviates anxiety for me. And it's real because when I feel that and I actually have an opportunity to get up and go do something, it slows down a little bit. The problem is sometimes it happens before I go to bed. And then like I can't get up and actually physically do something. But I did start when it happens in my bedroom. You know, I pick up my phone and I read a little Bible verse. Mm-hmm. So it's action for me, right? Is there something that you've been able to, I guess, develop over the years by struggling with anxiety, whether it's as a parent, a wife, a friend, an author, anything that you do?
I think there's a bunch of things. And the first part is recognizing what I was previously doing in order to try to combat it. That is actually the complete opposite of what you're supposed to. So like, I love my like drinks or my cocktails. And actually, I'm a huge emotional eater. So
crumb cake.
Ugh. If I'm happy, I'll eat. If I'm sad, I'll eat, you know. And I wish I was born with the desire that when I get stressed, I'm, I think you're like this, you work out to relieve stress. I don't do that. I don't sit there and go, wow, I really need to get a good workout in so I feel better. I lack that, which I wish was different. So there's a couple of things. Is one, turning to food, you know, and I'm not a fitness influencer by any means, you know, turning to food to help soothe things, the complete wrong thing to do. Turning to drinks and alcohol to soothe things, the complete wrong thing to do, because even if it like numbs you for a little bit, and sometimes I do feel like, hey, I just need a drink right now to turn my brain off. But if you do that too much or you do that to a crazy extent, you turn your brain off only for it to come back like 10 times louder once you're not drinking anymore. You know, it's worse when you're done. So that was the first part in noticing what I was doing to sort of falsely cure my anxiety. The second part was when I fixed my relationship with my husband, and now I really feel like I have that strong partner as my backbone. And, you know, this goes, I don't mean to say that being married for, you know, any woman listening or any person listening, like you need somebody there to help you with your own anxiety. But it can also go the other way. If you have people in your life who contribute to your anxiety, that's not helping anything either. So I think it's the second part is making sure that the people you have around you are receptive to your needs when you are anxious. It used to be a thing. My husband moves slower than I do, and I'm quick. I was 15 minutes early, you know, like he's a little bit of a late person. That gives me wild anxiety if we're going to be late somewhere.
Yeah, me too.
And it used to be back in the day when we communicated like shit that if he noticed I was pacing, it would almost piss him off. Because he's like, all right, well, I haven't slowed down all week long. And now I don't want to rush to this next place. I don't want to feel like you're rushing me. And I was like, I'm not rushing you by wanting to be somewhere on time. But we were both in our own, what we thought was right and what we needed. Now, if I have to be somewhere on time, I'm like, listen, I don't mean to rush you, but we just have to be here at this time. Yeah. And if he notices that we are, he's like, babe, I'm going to be ready in just 5 minutes. He never used to say that. I used to just sit there and wait for him. And now he very much calms my anxiety. Babe, I'm going to be ready in 5 minutes. I'm sorry if I'm running late. That never used to happen. So it's having people in your corner that know sort of what your triggers are and how to numb them down a little bit. And then for yourself to be able to help it, remove the things that you know are the things that create it. And I think a big thing too in life as you get older, whether it's me approaching almost, I'll be 39, but 40, you realize quickly that your circle is better off a little bit smaller in many ways. And I mean, I am so grateful to be here and you are now like a friend of mine, but you really keep people in your life the older you get that know you well, respect you well, understand you, and support you. And sometimes people are in your life for a season because you either outgrew each other, or maybe the person you are right now today is different than the one you were a couple years ago. And hanging around certain people or old relationships that you used to have that don't really serve you anymore, that's a source of a lot of anxiety too. Like, well, this used to be the person I was. I used to drink a lot. I used to go out to dinner a lot. And you talk about that. Like, mm-hmm. You were a big partier.
Yep.
And things just change, you know? And it doesn't mean that you're not grateful for all those memories with those other people. And they were supportive in their own right when you were going through those different things back in the day. But you evolve, you grow. And when you find yourself in a different situation, you know, you just have to surround yourself with the people who know you best and the people you feel the most comfortable with. And all of that can sort of help dial down an anxiety, I think.
I love all that. What do you want for your daughter in life? It's an ugly world, right? It's a very, very ugly world. And it's, you know, I've been talking about it a lot, but as 3-year-old, 4-year-olds, 5-year-olds, kids, they're so innocent. And then eventually you watch that, like, you watch that innocence almost break, you know? So what would you say to your daughter, whether she can understand and conceptualize it now, but a message that she can take later on?
Really, I have to back up a little bit, because when I woke up this morning, it was like, probably the anxiety where I was like, okay, let me make sure that I know what I'm going to like talk about, or what value am I going to bring to the No Snooze podcast, right? And I, you know, Diamandia, she had like this rap sheet of accolades or things that she's done. And when I was listening, I was like, oh my God, like, you know, I sort of call myself like the every person's champion, you know, like the moms at home or the work from home parents or just quote regular people with big dreams or big aspirations. And whether you have a rap sheet of accolades or not, whether you are a millionaire, whether you have, you know, lots of successful businesses, Gary Vee had said this a while ago, some of the happiest people he knows are people who have 9-to-5 jobs and they love going to work, leaving work, not having to think about work when they leave, very regular. And they spend all that rest of the time with their family, and they're the happiest people he knows. And if that is what you want, that's wonderful. And for me personally, my joy comes from attacking this, because this was something I always wanted to do, write a book, writing it, publishing it, selling, you know, almost 800 copies. People who have read it love it. And it just motivated me to just keep writing. It's my thing. And I'm living true to what I've always wanted to do, which took me 30, almost 9 years to figure out, thanks to all those things that I did prior. And my biggest thing of what my biggest value to myself and to others is, doesn't matter how much money you have. It doesn't matter, you know, what clothes you have. It doesn't matter what your house looks like. For myself and for others, all I want is to bring joy. And I'm a pretty joyful person. I'm a genuine person, you know, like bringing your cigars is because I listened to your podcast, and that's one of your favorite cigars that you said. It's not, hey, Dave, let me get on your podcast. I barely watch any episode, but, right, you know, help me get some exposure. I pay attention to you and I want to support you as much as this will hopefully support me a bit. But all of that has to do with what things bring me joy. Paying attention to you and getting to know you as a friend, that brings me joy. Being here brings me joy. Meeting Claudio brings me joy. Being the best person I can to other people and bringing value to their life brings me joy. And for my daughter specifically, is for the rest of your life, what brings you joy? What brings you joy? And whatever it is that you need to do to find that joy, that's what you do. And the same way that my parents supported me and my husband supports me, find the circle that's going to support you and help get you to that joyful part, whatever it looks like. I'll never sit there and tell her you have to do this, or you should go to college, or you should do whatever. At this point, she's going to be a chef and she's going to own a pastry cafe because she loves it.
Yeah.
But as long as you are living a joyful life where, if God forbid, you know, were not here tomorrow, did you do everything you wanted to do? And did you find all of the reasons to do things rather than not to do them?
You're getting emotional.
Yeah.
And what are you feeling, right? Because if you're not on YouTube, maybe you're not seeing it. Maybe you can hear it. But what's going on in your head? That's making you I guess get glassy eyed and feel emotional like this?
Life is just hard, and I think we're all living in like a really crazy time. You know, what's happening globally, what's happening in our own country, like it's hard, even from COVID times, and like we've made it through a lot of stuff, all of us. And actually, I think a lot of what happened in the last few years does make people really realize like how strong are your relationship. You're locked down, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
With those people, do you really have that rock solid of a relationship? Because there's nowhere to escape to, you know, you're not leaving each other for 10 hours a day,
right?
So life is hard. Relationships are hard. Staying true to yourself is hard. You know, dealing with regrets is hard. And making sure that you do everything that you can. And this, I guess, is exactly no snooze. You get one life. And you just have to keep going and keep making sure that you're being as true to yourself as possible. Because you do only get one life. You get one shot. And it doesn't mean that everything has to be perfect. But if you're going to make 1,000 mistakes, learn from each of those 1,000 mistakes and just keep getting better. And when I think about having a daughter, you know, like that's just what I want to teach her. You're going to make mistakes. It's how you bounce back from those mistakes. That is just the most important thing for her, for me, and even for the stuff, you know, that Jay and I were able to work out with our marriage. So, I'm just an emotional gal.
That is a lot. and I want to let you know, I wanted you here. You know, yes, you reached out, but as I got to know you a little bit more,
mm-hmm.
you should be here.
Thanks.
And your message should be getting out. And you have accolades, right? Whatever that means to you or anybody else could be different, but you have a beautiful life that you've created, and there's so much value in your story. And I think everybody has a story, but we just have to learn how to be comfortable telling it and almost feeling worthy of it.
Yeah.
But yeah, I could see what you're saying. Like Diamandi has got this, you know, rap sheet that's very impressive. Yahoo comes out with an article on it, like a lot of exposure. And then you're sitting here like, should I? Mm-mm. You're supposed to be here.
Thanks.
And this is going to go to the next level for you.
Thank you.
I'm serious, because you have that. I see it. I feel it.
Thank you.
And I'm sure CV would agree with it. But I think you brought a lot of value here today. So I don't want you to question that at all.
Yeah. And I usually don't. It's
Wait, usually don't what?
I usually don't.
Oh, I thought bring value or
no.
Listen, you brought a lot of crumb cakes. I mean, we're talking about breadcrumbs, I think, in life, right? Breadcrumbs were the things. I think I'm gonna start calling them crumb cakes.
Crumb cakes. I usually don't doubt what I bring to the table. I don't doubt my capabilities. I don't doubt what I've been through. I don't doubt what I've learned. I don't usually doubt any of that stuff. I'm actually very confident in what I bring to the table. Mm-hmm. It's just going through all of these things in life, I just think have a strange way of humbling you.
Yes.
Right? Yes. You know, you're a very like dominating personality yourself, and you've achieved great success in many ways, right? But I'm sure you still doubt yourself in a variety of ways, or know that you can get better. And I think that's the most relatable thing on this podcast, is here are these wonderful people, right, with great accolades and great rap sheets and great businesses, and everybody has dealt with their own shitstorm. And it is how you make it through that storm that really defines you as a person.
The sun will always come back out, right?
Yeah.
It's one of my favorite things I always talk about when it's raining outside. I always tell Callie, keep looking, because that sun is always going to come back out. And she's like, can we go outside then?
She's so cute.
Mary, thank you so much for coming. I want to give you an opportunity to let everybody know where they can find you, purchase your book, and anything to connect with you. Anything you want to share?
Sure. My website is marybellwithanebooks.com. I sell signed copies on there, and also some of the merch. Don't have that exact shirt that Dave has on.
This one's going to sell, baby.
It's also available on Amazon, on Kindle Unlimited, and on Instagram, Facebook, and TikTok. I am mary.bell with an e.books. and a great big huge thank you for having me.
And yeah. Soon to come an audiobook.
Oh, right? Yeah. Dave as Gennaro. I don't know. You might have to fight Jay for that.
Hey, listen. I believe, I'll say it here first. I've had this, and this is going to sound, you know, crazy, foo-foo, whatever. I believe I'm supposed to write a book. I do.
This is your sign, Dave.
For whatever reason. Right. So, like, you know what I'm saying? So for whatever reason, I've felt like this for a long time. And now I actually know somebody. Well, I guess I've had Brandon Gadoris on. He wrote a book, but that was more like golf related. But you're the first one that I'm getting close to that, like, you actually have a process. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not just like I have to throw this up in the air and figure this out. But yeah, I can definitely start with a little audio book, you know? If that's how it goes.
I told Jay, I said, if you do this, you're going to have to tone down the Yonkers a little bit. Because Gennaro he's supposed to be from Rome. So you might have to tone down a little.
I got to work on my exhales. on my exhales. And also, what else did I do? I did something weird that I was like, oh, that's not it. Oh, the Italian. It was not it. That's not it.
Jay, that would be Jay's shining moment, the Italian.
There you go. Anything else you want to share before we close out here?
I just, you know, I'm happy to be here. I'm happy to tell my story. I can't wait for one day for my daughter to watch all this. I can't wait for Jay to watch it, my family, everybody. But it's more than, you know, just having written a book. I would love for anybody watching or listening who loves to read to purchase it, of course, to read it. But it's really my biggest message is, you know, if you're a work from home parent, if you're a stay at home mom, if you're anybody and, you know, kids, they are wonderful and they are exhausting, and you don't have to pick between being a parent and chasing a dream. You can absolutely do both of those things. I've done it and I will continue to keep doing it. And I just think it's really important for people to know that you don't have to pick between the two. You could do both.
Thank you again.
Thank
I think
you.
You've done a wonderful job, and I'm excited to watch the continued growth.
Thank you.
And guys, whether you listen to one episode or 161, we want to say thank you guys. We're very grateful for you. On top of buying Mary Bell's book, Vivi Il Memento, check out nosnooshop.com and share this episode. This podcast is growing, and we're growing because of you guys, and couldn't be more grateful for each and every one of you. So Mary, we thank you. CV, as always, until next time, stop snoozing.
Get up and get after it.
And now I need some more.
There's plenty.
This is delicious. Thank you guys for tuning in. That's another epi in the books. You can follow us on Instagram at No Snooze Podcast and leave us a 5-star review wherever you listen to us. Subscribe to our YouTube channel, No Snooze. Shop the latest merch at nosnoozeshop.com. Come on.